Sunday, January 6th, the Epiphany of the Lord. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house they saw the child with Mary his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. Haydock Commentary. By wise men or magi, both the Latin and Greek text may signify wise philosophers and astronomers, which is the common exposition. The same word is also many times taken for a magician or soothsayer. Some ancient interpreters think these very men might have been magicians before their conversion. They were from the east, some say from Arabia, others from Chaldea, that is modern-day Iraq, others from Persia, that is modern-day Iran. Diverse interpreters speak of them as if they had been kings, princes, or lords of some small territories. The number of these wise men is uncertain. St. Leo, in his Sermons on the Epiphany, speaks of them as if they had been three, perhaps on account of their threefold offerings. There are also very different opinions as to the time that the star appeared to these wise men, whether before Christ's birth or about the very time he was born, which seems more probable. The interpreters are again divided as to the year and the day of the year when they arrived at Bethlehem and adored the Savior of the world. Some think not till 2 years after Christ's birth, and St. Jerome puts the massacre of the Holy Innocents about that time in his chronicle. But taking it for granted that the wise men came to Jerusalem and to Bethlehem the same year that Christ was born, it is not certain on what day of the year they adored him at Bethlehem. It is true the Latin Church, ever since the 4th or 5th age, has kept the Feast of the Epiphany on the 6th day of January, but when it is said in that day's office, "This day a star led the wise men to the manger," it may bear this sense only, that this day we keep the remembrance of it. The wise men, by the 11th verse, found Jesus at Bethlehem, where his blessed mother was to remain for 40 days, till the time of her purification was expired, and it seems most probable that the wise men came to Bethlehem about that time, rather than within 13 days after Christ's birth. For had they come so soon after Christ was born, and been directed to go and make diligent inquiry at Bethlehem, which was not more than 5 miles from Jerusalem, it can scarcely be imagined that so suspicious and jealous a prince as Herod was would have waited almost a month for their return without searching for the newborn king. But it is likely, being again alarmed by what happened when Jesus was presented in the temple at his mother's purification, he thereupon gave those cruel and barbarous orders for the massacre of those innocent infants. The Magi knew it to be his star either by some prophecy among them or by divine revelation. This star was some lightsome body in the air, which at last seemed to point them to the very place where the world's Redeemer lay. We know not whether it guided them during the whole course of their journey from the east to Jerusalem. We read nothing more in the Gospel but that it appeared to them in the east, and that they saw it again upon their leaving Jerusalem to go to Bethlehem. The wise men are supposed to have come from Arabia, near the Euphrates. They might have preserved in this country the remembrance of the prophecy of Balaam, which had announced the coming of the Messiah by the emblem of a star which was to arise from Jacob. See Numbers 24:17. The star which appeared then was the symbol of a star which Balaam had predicted. Herod had fear of losing his kingdom, being a foreigner, because he had obtained the sovereignty by violence. But why was all Jerusalem to be alarmed at the news of a king so long and so ardently expected? First, because the people, well acquainted with the cruelty of Herod, feared a more galling slavery. Second, through apprehension of riots and of a revolution, which could not be effected without bloodshed, as the Romans had such strong hold. They had also been so worn down with perpetual wars that the most miserable servitude with peace was to the Jews an object rather of envy than deprecation. The prophecy from Micah quoted here was a clear prophecy concerning the Messiah. Yet the words which we read in the Evangelist are not quite the same as we find in the prophet, either according to the Hebrew or to the Greek text of the Septuagint. The chief difference is that in the prophet we read, "And thou, Bethlehem, art little," but in the Evangelist, "Thou art not the least." Some answer that the words of the prophet are to be expounded by way of an interrogation, "Art thou little?" It is certain the following words, both in the prophet and in the gospel, "Out of thee shall come forth a leader or a captain," etc., show that the meaning is, "Thou art not little." St. Jerome's observation seems to clear this point. He tells us that the Jewish priests who were consulted gave Herod the sense, and not the very words of the prophet, and the Evangelist, as an historian, relates to us the words of these priests to Herod, not the very words of the prophet. The testimony of the chief priests proves that this text of Micah was even then generally applied to the Messiah, and that to him alone it must be referred according to the letter. Matthew says the Magi went into the house. Several of the church fathers in their homilies represent the wise men adoring Jesus in the stable and in the manger. Yet others, with St. John Chrysostom, take notice that before their arrival, Jesus might be removed into some little house in Bethlehem. The Magi prostrated themselves and adored him, not with a civil worship only, but enlightened by divine inspiration, they worshipped and adored him as their Savior and their God. Regarding the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, various of the ancient fathers take notice of the mystical signification of these offerings, that by gold was signified the tribute they paid to him as to their king, by incense that he was God, and by myrrh, with which dead bodies used to be embalmed, that now he was also become a mortal man. Because they adored him as an infant, in the Eucharist also Christ is to be adored, for it is of no consequence under what appearance he is pleased to give himself to us, whether that of a perfect man, a speechless child as here, or under the appearance of bread and wine, provided it is evident that he is there. For in whatever manner or place he appears, he is true God, and for that alone he is to be adored. As St. John Chrysostom says, "Let us imitate the Magi. Thou seest him not now in the crib, but on the altar, not a woman holding him, but the priest present, and the Holy Ghost poured out abundantly upon the sacrifice."